we can't please everybody in our lives. And so long as we try our best and we are true to our inner compass, there will always be a crowd that suits you, and there's always a blue sky that is meant for you. Opportunities are out there only if we are open to look at it and are willing to try hard enough to reach out for them. It's also a bit of upbringing, right? It's a fight or flight. I only can fight. My choice was to fight.
Hello and welcome to the Women of the Future podcast, a podcast made in collaboration with the Women of the Future program, a platform built to unlock a culture of kindness and collaboration among leaders, as well as support and celebrate the successes of women. I'm Kim Rowell, and I won the media category at their awards in 2018 in recognition of my continued work as a commissioner, producer and children's author, particularly within the mental health remit. I'll be talking to my guests on this podcast about their careers, who or what gave them their first big break, their successes, failures and inspirations along the way, and how they came to be a part of the Women of the Future network. Josephine Lee is the corporate real estate lead across Asia Pacific for Cummings, a company which prides itself as a global power technology leader. Previously, as regional business development director for Asia Pacific at Knight Frank in Singapore, Josephine managed corporate clients across multiple geographies. With vast experience in the real estate sector, Josephine has won market-defining mandates.
Having spent 3 years in China,
Josephine was responsible for over 1 million square feet of transactions and has managed the real estate portfolios for brands such as Amazon and Nokia. Recognised for her approach to kindness and collaboration within the industry, Josephine was the winner of the Property, Infrastructure and Construction category at the Women of the Future Southeast Asia Awards in 2019.
I'm a Singaporean of Chinese descent, so I lived all my life in Singapore, had the opportunity to have some exchange programs overseas in New Zealand, but well, by and large, I've been here and average family, pretty relaxed parents, I would say. But as with all families, we have our challenges. And I guess it pretty much shapes me to who I am today.
And what were you like at school? Were you a good student? Did you enjoy it? Did you really get stuck in? Were you a bit naughty? What were you like?
I think I'm actually quite boring, to be honest.
I'm sure you're not.
I was an average student. I wasn't like the smartest kid in town, but I guess I did my work and I had opportunities to be like the leader of the class, help the teacher do certain things. I think there was this gut in my bone, right? That if something is not right, I would say it. Yeah, I would voice it out and that got me into trouble sometimes.
But you feel like you had a strong moral compass, like you knew the difference between right and wrong and you weren't afraid to call out bad behaviour and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't stand for bullies, that's for sure.
And what was your first job out of education? Did you do a lot of work experience when you're at school, or, you know, did you test the water in any way for where your interests were?
Mum and Dad were really quite open to us doing part-time jobs during vacations. So I kind of went around being a waitress, being a call center person, work at a bakery. So it was fun because we got to know many people, but also I realized that there are things that I didn't like. I absolutely disliked, but it actually gave me confidence and independence, I'd say. Earning my first paycheck, it was just $100 or something, but I felt empowered.
Yeah,
to spend and to just, hey, you know, I'm earning my own money now. So that was nice. At least I tried.
Yeah. Also, I know from my own experience, those kind of roles, the customer facing roles, when you're literally faced with people who want a service and they have an opinion of how good or bad that service was, they can be quite testing, can't they? And I think maybe as you're alluding to, it might be more to do with your own personal sense of fortitude and resilience and that kind of thing. And that's quite character building, isn't it?
It is. And I think I've met actually a couple of customers that were I actually learned that some things we don't need to take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah.
They laugh it off. So yeah, we ruin with the punches.
So how did you kind of get into what you're doing now? Was there a door that was open, or did something pique your interest? Was it a great opportunity? How did you take your first steps into what you're doing now? And please do tell us more about what that is.
Okay, so I'm actually in the real estate industry as part of the property infrastructure and development side, construction side. My role is actually pretty niche. I was an average student, right? So I feel very blessed to be able to make it to university. You know, from Asian parentage, we're always taught to be humble. We're always taught that we're not good enough. We need to strive. We need to have grit. So when I made it to uni, I was actually really happy and glad that I managed to make it. I actually graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in Real Estate in the University of Singapore. And I chanced upon my first job and I kind of fell in love. I love what I'm doing. I'm doing industrial properties. I got into a quasi-government body, met my mentor, who is extremely fierce, but she had really high standards. So she kind of shaped me. I was just a blank piece of paper, right? And she said, okay, this is how the lines should be drawn. Then I realized that Singapore is actually really, really small. We're just a red dot, as people know. And I wanted to stretch myself more. And I got myself a role as an analyst in a consultancy firm, also in real estate, to cover the APAC region. So I figured out from a very young age that if I could find a job that can allow me to travel, that's perfect. Along the way, I've actually followed that inner compass to move through the pathways. And right now, I'm actually supporting my company as an in-house real estate leader, also for the APAC region. And it's another segment of the real estate industry that allows me to have a more comprehensive view of the property sector. So I still deal with industrial properties, but I do commercial properties like offices as well.
And I was reading a couple of interviews that you've given already, and travel's a big factor, right? It sounds like it is a big factor for you in your work life. And you have said you love traveling around the region, the APAC region, pre-pandemic, but obviously now, you know, boundaries and borders are being opened up more liberally. But you were also seconded to China, weren't you, as an interim head of your Beijing office. What was that like? Was that exciting, challenging, all of the above?
That was actually pretty scary, to be honest. I was actually really, really, really blessed to be in a company that tried to fit me into different shapes. I was with Knight Frank at that point in time, and they were trying to find a role that best suited me. And I realized that with every shape that I try to formulate into, I just don't quite fit in. But then opportunity came for me to be in China, and I had a few places to choose, but I chose Beijing, which was quite different from Singapore. I wouldn't want to go to a place that's of the same environment. So there was so much to learn. I'm of Chinese descent. Being an average student, Chinese language is a challenge for me, believe it or not. It was amazing personal growth. I had to take on a leadership role. I had to lead a team that wasn't mine. And I actually had to adopt whatever situation and try to grow the business. So I had to learn to lean onto my allies, but also I was feeling very, very uncomfortable because I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure of this role. It was my first leadership role and I had to lead it in a foreign land. But I remember someone actually asked me while I was there in Beijing, where would you want to be? Do you think you're happy in, you know, your life right now? I'm like, yes, this is what I've dreamed of. And I'm actually here. So I kind of felt that I have arrived, but yet it's just, is it real? I wasn't sure.
It's fascinating because most people, when they have that kind of opportunity, it's not at that scale. It's not like moving countries, moving culture, whole new language, leading a team you don't know. That sounds like you threw everything at it to see it sink or swim, I guess. But do you think there are some big learnings and takeaways from that experience that you've now factored into how you operate and what you do today?
Yes, I would say, you know, one thing, it made me actually really learn the meaning of context, right? Where I am, I'm a Singaporean in China, Beijing. My mindset was really small country, international view, but I'm in a big country where culturally it's probably not as diverse. People are coming from a totally different background from me. There might be struggles, but I actually do learn that we can't please everybody in our lives. And so long as we try our best and we are true to our inner compass, there will always be a crowd that suits you, and there's always a blue sky that is meant for you. Opportunities are out there only if we are open to look at it and are willing to try hard enough to reach out for them. It's also a bit of upbringing, right? It's a fight or flight. I'm there. I only can fight. My choice was to fight. And then things will fall into place. Sometimes we just need time for things to fall into their rhythm.
Yeah, patience is a big factor, isn't it? Huge.
Yeah.
You've already mentioned a mentor or, you know, guiding lights. And I know that your godmother as well is a big source of inspiration for you. But throughout your career, would you say there's a person in particular, or maybe it was like a pivotal moment that you would say helped mold your career trajectory or just reassured you that you were on the right path?
I had this mentor. We met coincidentally because he was an ex-client of mine. And we would have a cup of coffee every now and then. And he would say, so where are you at with your career pathway? I would share with him my challenges. And I said, I don't know what to do. You know, he's like, that was before I went to China. He's like, maybe you should just post yourself overseas. So I was like, huh, okay. Right. So when I was in China, he came to visit. And he's like, so why are you in China? I said, you told me to come. You told me to get out of the country, right?
Your fault. Yeah.
So I listened and he was like, okay. And he's still my mentor. And right now he's still giving me nuggets of gold. And he said that maybe, you know, for your trajectory now, you should really consider this pathway, Joe. And he's very wise. Of course, we take it with a pinch of salt. But true enough, you know, I know that he meant well for me. So I'm actually taking his advice right now, but I'll just like to share that we have many mentors in our lifetime. Some come and go. They would spin in and spin out depending on timing. But these mentors are role models that we look up to. They themselves are successful in their own right. But I've also learned that their pathway might not be the pathway for me as well. Because their success is different from my success. Yeah, so I just want to remind myself of that as well, because sometimes they can be quite imposing, I would say, but they do mean well. It's just imposing.
You're right as well. It sounds like he was sowing the seed and then you were thinking, right, how does that apply to me? How can I use that? What are the opportunities available? So he gave you the idea or the nudge, and then you thought, okay, I feel like that could work. Let's look at what my options are, that kind of thing, which I think is really effective mentorship as well. Like you say, people come and go, but it's the knowledge that they impart at the time of your life when you may or may not need it, or may or may not be the most responsive.
That's right. And this knowledge can be, you know, I would keep it in my little chest of wisdom and I'll use them, you know, when the right time comes.
Absolutely. And of course, all the work you've done and where you're at in your career right now, is there any one thing in particular that stands out for you or that you're particularly proud of, would you say?
Wow, there's so many. I think the moment when I decided to take on this current role that I'm in, to know that although I have been blessed with good people and success. Maybe that success is not mine. Right? I actually chose to take another path. I was on a management track with my previous company, but I decided that that probably wasn't my calling. I wanted to learn some more. And I chose to be in another realm of the property segment. And it's more aligned with my inner self. So I think that's something that it takes bravery, because I'm walking away from something good, but now I have something better.
And more fulfilling.
And more fulfilling. That's right. That's right.
So how did you first hear about the Women of the Future program, and how have you been involved with them?
It was actually a colleague of mine. She was in the marketing department and she said, "Hey, Joe, I'm going to nominate you for this Women of the Future." I'm like, no. She's so nice. I was like, no. There are definitely better candidates out there. You know, I'm just doing my job. It's okay. Don't waste your time on it. She's like, no, I don't care. I'm going to table it to our boss and let's see how it goes. And then he came over and he's like, "I'm going to nominate you. I don't care whether you accept it or not. I'm going to do it." I was like, okay, anyways, I will get it. Okay, it's fine. You guys do whatever you want. Then I got the news that I was shortlisted. I was like, oh my God. And I was like, okay, you know what? It's nice to be shortlisted. It's okay. So fantastic. I read up online about the Women of the Future. And I was like, wow, all these are amazing, amazing ladies that have achieved so much and given back to the society. And wow, how can I match up? I won't be able to match up. And then we got invited to the gala, the dinner. It was really fun. Wasn't expecting anything. Again, my boss was very supportive. He actually got us a table. He got me a table and he's like, "I'm going to support you. Let's go for it." Invite whoever you want to invite, right? The people that you want to thank, the people that have helped you along the way. So he was very generous. And I had a table of 9 other persons, my godmother, my best friends, my boss, the very nice colleague that nominated me, a couple of my clients who, you know, gave me confidence along the way whenever I felt that I was inadequate. My very first boss that was very strict, my current boss, that she was at the table as well. And during the dinner, I was like, okay, everybody, thank you for coming. Let's enjoy the dinner. And I gave my thanks to every one of them. I said, I won't win, but I'm just thanking everybody now.
That's really nice. That's really nice.
Yeah. And I said, let's enjoy the dinner, right? So, and then the announcement came. I think the property segment was actually, there were a lot of awards being given out. Brilliant women and candidates. And then it came to the property sector and I was up against very reputable and successful ladies in my industry. I was like, oh, I'm going to just cheer for them, you know? And my name was called. I was very, very surprised. It felt surreal. I guess I was tearing at that point in time also. And I was like, wow. It's really a recognition. And I think I felt that, hey, you know, I actually belong. I felt that I belong. So yeah. I was like, wow.
It's such an achievement, yeah.
Yeah. I guess sometimes, again, with my Asian parentage, we tend not to recognize ourselves. So it's quite tough at that point in time to say, hey, I actually won this. Yeah. It was shocking and everybody around me was very encouraging to be like, why are you so surprised, Joe?
So, like, yeah, like you say, that sense of humility, though, that's like ingrained in you. I'm sure that kind of was pushing against everything in you, being like, oh, wow, it's me. It's actually me. And I mean, they call it imposter syndrome, but it's not necessarily that, is it? It's just like you say, it's just like a cultural thing even as well, just to be like more self-deprecating, which is interesting.
So that's, that being said, I would say the Women of the Future actually really gave me that confidence boost. Winning the award isn't everything, right? But it's something that would ground me and say, hey, you know, you're actually okay. You're doing fine.
So, know what you're doing. Yeah, you're on the right
track. You're fine. You're on the right track. Yeah.
Can I ask more about your godmother? Because I know that you've spoken about her previously, about how inspirational she is to you. What is it about her that really shines out?
Oh, wow. She's a fantastic lady. She is. She has gone through so much adversity. You know, for that generation, she's illiterate. So she has been actually taking care of the family, and she's the constant thing in my life. My mom is, she actually struggles with, I think, depression, and it's actually quite tough on my mom. So because of that, she had to really focus more on herself. And sometimes, you know, don't come across very, some comments or some wordings can really hurt a young kid, a young child. So my godmother, on the other hand, was the constant that showed me how love and patience goes a long way. That very generous heart of hers actually showed me that regardless how life changes or how things are like in your environment, it's okay. So long as we are, how do you say it, one with ourselves. As long as we have a loving heart, it's okay. Everything will be fine.
That's lovely.
So she taught me how to love and give back. Yeah, her kindness really extends beyond.
Okay, on that note, I have some quick fire questions just to finish with, if you're ready. So here we go. What would you describe as your greatest success?
Greatest success. My greatest success is to be able to wake up every day and be grateful for what I have.
And your greatest failure?
My greatest failure is that constant nagging feeling of inadequacy.
It's quite sad. I think we all have it. I think we all have it to a point.
Yeah, it, sometimes it's louder, sometimes it's softer.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. It's silencing those voices, exactly. Mm. Okay, so the mantra of Women of the Future is kindness and collaboration. What does that mean to you in both your personal and professional life?
Well, on my professional life, I would think that everybody is in a situation, right? Everybody comes to work and bring a part of themselves to that work environment. So we can always go with a little bit of kindness and understanding and patience whenever we are dealing with our colleagues or our stakeholders, knowing that sometimes they might have a bad day and it's not personal. It's about how we are conscientious and empathetic about what everybody is going through and finding that common goal to achieve success in our projects and whatever we want to achieve, right? At home, I would say kindness and collaboration is really showing your loved ones that you love them every day, living life with no regrets. Make a difference now rather than later. Always choose now, then later if we can.
I like that a lot. Always choose now. Great advice. Is there anything that scares you?
Oh, I think my only fear is that I'm not able to challenge myself enough and reach my full potential.
What's left on your to-do list?
Oh, so many.
I had a feeling it was long.
so many. It's like I've crossed this hurdle, right? Like, oh, I've met this challenge, right? What's next? Or, oh, okay, I've done this. Oh, it's not that tough. So as time passes, as I get a little wiser and older, I would say I want to do things now. Not later, you know. So many. I can't list. Well, I hope to be able to maybe in time move to another country as well. Let's see.
More travel.
Yeah, more travels, especially after the lockdowns.
Like you say, always choose now. I'm going to leave with that mantra in my brain. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful speaking to you, and I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to do it. You're just such an inspiration. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Kim. I hope I did all right.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Women of the Future podcast. If you enjoyed it, please hit the subscribe button. And while you're there, why not give us a rating and review? You know you want to. For more about the Women of the Future Awards, network and initiative, please visit www.womenofthefuture.co.uk. See you soon.